and the idea of the Mets potentially trading him. Yesterday, Andy Martino reported that he was the name that the Mets are willing to move on. I just saw a report that Buster Olney had that said that the White Sox and Mets have talked specifically about players here, that Vientos and Luis Angel Acuña are among the names that have come up between the Mets and White Sox. So that is the latest report right there. So we talk about a deal potentially Vientos for Luis Robert. Here's the thing. It's not going to be easy knowing what Vientos did a year ago, seeing what he did last night with the Grand Slam. Could have been two home runs, but he was robbed by Tatis. But these are tough decisions that David Stearns and the Mets need to make, and they need to make them now because they have an abundance of infielders. There's not room for everybody, and they need other pieces to complete which would could be a championship puzzle.
Yeah, listen, I think it would kind of be a little bit easier sending him out to Chicago where the White Sox are years away from being good. So it's not like Vientos is going to come back and haunt you, even if you dealt him to the NL Central, like you could conceivably see him at a wild card series a year or so down the road. I mean, the chance of the Mets beating the White Sox in the World Series is basically zero, 1%. So that wouldn't deter me from doing that. What the Mets need to do is the Mets need to determine, it's really just a basic checklist, Sal, like, okay, well, what does Mark Vientos do really well? And I think we all know the answer. When he barrels up the ball, he barrels it up, and he can carry a team for a couple of weeks. And not a lot of guys can do that. Like, I don't think Beatty could carry the Mets for a
Correct.
Month. I think Vientos could.
Right.
And we know about, obviously, Soto and Pete and Lindor and even Nimmo. But of the younger players,
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. He could. But then you look at the deficiencies, the other side of the checklist here, and he's a sloppy defender. You know, his effort was questioned early in the year, which is always worrisome for me as a young player, because if you're not always locked in and dialed in as a young kid, what happens when you start getting real money in your pocket?
Right.
I mean, I've always looked at it that way. So it doesn't mean that he can't change. I mean, young players, certainly they get more locked in. It's like you're terminally afflicted with being a little lazy or a little inconsistent with your effort. I just think that Stearns loves some athleticism and some defensive versatility, and really Vientos doesn't give you that.
Well, think about it this way. It's something that you always say. You want a player that could help you if he's in a slump. Mm-hmm. Who helps you win more ball games, Vientos or Beatty, if
Correct.
They're both slumping?
It's not Vientos, it's Beatty. And that's why I like McMahon more than Suarez, because
Correct.
If Suarez doesn't hit a home run, I know McMahon could be like Greg Nettles for a couple of games, and I know that Suarez can't.
Right, so that's what they're looking at. It's not that they believe that Beatty is has better potential or higher upside offensively. They're trying to win games now and thinking, hey, Beatty can be a useful piece for us on a championship team off the bench, left-handed bat with a little bit of pop and some potential still, can play some third and second, probably good attitude, works hard, whatever
it may be.
Maybe play some outfield eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Vientos, and I'm not saying he has a bad attitude, because I kind of like the confidence and all that.
I do too.
He can't play third adequately. He survived last year, but that was more the aberration. You don't have a spot for him at first base and whatever there. It's not like he's a gold glover there anyway. He's essentially a DH who can go into slump. So, yes, he can carry you. Now, remember, there is value there, which is also a key part here. You're not dumping him. You're not cutting him. You're not getting rid of him for nothing. In this scenario that has been reported and rumored, if you're getting Luis Robert, you're getting a player with great potential that also is under contract. Now, you're going to have to pay more for him if you pick up the option, the team option, for $20 million each of the next 2 years, $20 million next year, then $20 million the following year. But he plays center field.
Mm-hmm.
Find me the center fielders in Major League Baseball that have the potential to do what Luis Robert can do or has done in his career. So I know it's been a rough go the last couple of seasons. He's starting to pick it up now. He's got potential, and the Mets need a center fielder. That you get 4 years of control of Vientos that you've given up, and that potential, I think that's a fair ask. I don't know if it's going to be one for one, but point is, Robert to me would fit the Mets better than Vientos right now.
Yeah, and I the more I think about this, I think they're going to trade Vientos, or I certainly believe that they're most open to trading him out of everybody else here. I mean, do you want to give up on, you know, Mauricio?
No way.
I don't. I'm asking rhetorical. I know your answer.
He's untouchable to me, and I'm not an untouchable guy.
I mean, that's a little untouchable strong
well, give
for
me. Give me the player who I'm going to, like, you offer me Alcantara? Nope, I'm not doing it. Like, I don't. Dude, Mauricio under control again for 4 years. His offensive potential, that was a huge home run he hit last night. Game-tying home run on the road against their top closer.
That was a big one. And four hits the previous night, by the way.
Right, with another big home run the other night. Yeah. So, like, he's got the moment. He could capture the moment the way Vientos did a year ago.
Not trying to minimize him. No,
I'm just like, good defensively.
Yeah, to me, untouchable is, you know, your top pitcher or your middle of the diamond shortstop, like a Lombard type. I just kind of position a little bit differently. I like Mauricio. And I think that the Mets do as well. And I think that the Mets look at Acuna and they say, all right, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, stolen base, bunt, defensive replacement, second base, center field if you had to.
You could replace that, though.
I know you could, but like if Vientos doesn't hit, what's he bringing to
the
table?
Well, the reason why I said you could, like, Acuna came up with Vientos. I don't know if it's going to be both and maybe the Mets get a pitcher back or whatever. But
yeah, would that bother you if it's both?
No. No, okay. I would keep Acuna because I think he can be a useful piece off the bench. You just mentioned those reasons why, but I'm not going to let him hold up getting a center fielder and maybe an arm back. I don't know if Vientos and Acuna might be a little too much for Robert. Now you're trading up years of control with young players with potential and taking on a player that's been inconsistent that's going to cost $20 million next year.
What if you get the White Sox? Not that Cohen needs this. The White Sox shave off $5, $6, $7 million to defray the cost here. You'd rather have Acuna than $7 million in your pocket.
Or a bullpen arm.
Yeah, I get it.
Back. So I think that there are ways to do it. Point is, I know Met fans are going to be, you know, torn with Vientos because of what he did a year ago, because of what he did last night, knowing that offensive potential. Hey, you have to give to get, and the Mets need to make a decision, so he might be the one to go. The other thing we talked about was the Yankees, of course, and to me, like the indecision of what they're going to do. Deadline's 2 days from today. We don't know what the Yankees are going to do. Soft buyers. They're floating Bellinger and Goldschmidt out there. If you trade Bellinger, that's selling, which is fine to me. It shows that you're not believing in this team, which is totally understandable. And you're trying to get out in front of next year. You could always go re-sign Bellinger. It's not like you're losing him forever. They could do what they did in 2016. But you could also make the argument that maybe it's better to just hope that Judge comes back healthy, which they expect. By all accounts, it seems like they expect him to come back in the 10 days that he's on the IL and then make a run, get in the postseason. Anything could happen.
Yeah, he's got a ton of issues. So I don't need to reset them all. We've done it, you know, chapter and verse for a while now. Maybe there's, you know, everything magically pops at once with health and some other situation, Heal and Judge and some other things, couple trades. Yeah, maybe the Yankees could do something that right now I don't think they have really any chance to do right now. But I'm going to defend them a little bit here. Like, what's presented in terms of, and I get it, it's a little confusing. Oh, the Yankees are going to be soft sellers, or the terminology that's used, or the mindset of what the Yankees are thinking that good reporters like Martino and Feinsand and others and Heyman are jumping in on, doesn't mean that the Yankees don't know what they're thinking. Like, so it could be perceived as outer chaos, like, well, the Yankees, they could do this, and they might do that, and they might soft sell, and they might start to buy, like, but I would have to think, as much as I, you know, knocked around Cashman for a lot of reasons, never personal, just doing his job, there is nobody that can convince me that Cashman right now at 12:13 on a Tuesday, a couple days before the deadline, doesn't know what he wants to do.
I don't believe he knows what he wants
to do.
Well, what about Spencer Jones?
Well, I think the challenge for him is being able to line up the trades that he wants and, you know, hugging the prospects and not giving up certain things. But I'm talking about a concept. Like, I don't think that Brian Cashman woke up today and said, God, I don't know what we should do, man. Should we sell? Should we buy? Should we go half in? I think he's got a vision. Now, the execution of the vision, we'll find out in a couple of days. But I am almost positive. I can't prove it. Oh, I just strongly feel that he knows what he wants to do.
But how much of that vision do you think depends on what others are doing? Meaning, let's say, okay, well, yeah, maybe I'd make Bellinger available if I get back X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not going to get that back, then I'm not going to trade him. Or, yeah, I'd take Suarez, but I'm not giving up Spencer Jones to do so. Like, too many times to me, Cashman's vision or decisions are made based on others. I'll give him credit for the Spencer Jones a year ago. That's the one that was reported. The Yankees said no to Corbin Burns for Spencer Jones.
Just like they were saying with Volpe and Castillo a couple years
correct.
Ago.
Correct, okay. At least that's decisive. Now, I respect their decision. I would have gone the other way. But then with Spencer Jones, so that was then, we know how much they valued him. Then, this past year, after he had a bad year, it was, they didn't value him. And now, after a good year, it's back to, well, he may not be untouchable, but he's close to that status again. Like, that's all over the place. You can't be doing that with a player that's of Spencer Jones' age.
Well, but sometimes you learn things about a player. I mean, you gain
how
new
many
information.
Years take, dude?
Well, that's why I'm saying call him up. I mean, the fact that he's not up tonight is disgraceful. He's going to be 25. Nobody in the minor leagues has more home runs. And it's not like he's hitting 240 with all these jacks. His OPS is over 1,000. He runs a 6.560. He throws 95.
Right, usually players
from the outfield, play him.
Usually players like that, even if you don't want to bring him up, when there's an injury that calls for it, you would bring him up. You could send the men back down. I don't know what the Yankees are doing. They do the same thing with all these prospects, these young guys that come up here. They've screwed things up every which way possible for the last several years. Now, they can punch back and say, yeah, you fat, bald idiot. We were in the World Series last year. And I can sit back and say, you know what? You're right.
By the way, as he said that, he was pointing to me.
Yeah, no, no.
he was still, and his hand was up.
No, it's me. I told you I got to get back in shape. Especially after the vacation week.
Get back in
I'm going to go to the gym soon.
Yeah.
No, but they can, and it's a good argument. Like, hey, we make the playoffs almost every single year. We win 90-plus games. We were in the World Series last year. You're right, and I get that. But I still just don't believe in what they're doing. And it's not just
because... No, I don't either.
I know, but...
That's it. But remember what we started with this conversation. Yeah. This is a separate thing. I don't believe in what they're doing right now either, but I do believe that at least they know what their plan is now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll find out. A couple of days to go. See what the Yankees will do. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brian is in Hazlitt. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
BT, what's up, buddy? Real quick before I make my my Mets point. Yep. Me and my dad are going week four to Miami.
Nice.
I'm curious. I know you're doing a tailgate in Tampa. Do you know of any Jets tailgates down there?
Hit me up offline. Off the top of my head, I don't. I'm sure I could probably get some information connect. Just get me on one of the offline channels. I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah. I did send you a DM on Instagram last week, but
okay.
You know, it's weeks away. But anyway, to the Mets. I really don't want to trade Vientos. This guy's shown that he can carry a team. I haven't seen Beatty carry a team. I know Mauricio probably has the ability to. I'm not trading Vientos for Luis Robert. Guy's hitting 200. Yeah, he's getting hot now, but he just doesn't do it for me. I know he plays a stellar center field, but I don't want to part with Vientos.
All right, what are you going to do with Vientos?
I make him a DH, and he's a backfill for if he doesn't sign next year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love that idea myself, Brian, but I respect your thoughts on it, and I don't think you're going to be alone, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
It's a great question, though. If you want Vientos, what are you going to do with him? And if you don't have an answer, well, then maybe that should reshape the way you originally think what you say. You don't want to let go of him.
Well, think about what his answer was, though. Why DH him, and he could be insurance in case Pete walks. If Pete walks, you've got different issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a whole nother problem. And I'm glad David Stearns, I think, is in alignment with my thinking, or I'm in alignment with his thinking. I like building a team. It's not just, well, this guy's got the offensive potential, so I'm scared to let that go. Yes, of course, a part of you is going to be like, ah, man, sucks to lose this guy. But you'd be getting a center fielder. Who's your center fielder? You got to figure that out. Mets in the center. Now, if it's not Robert, they'll have to figure it out, whether it's Bader or somebody else. Maybe they do roll with McNeil and Taylor, and then they're going to have to either develop somebody. I don't know if one of these guys in the minors could be that, or go get somebody. But Robert, to me, is a natural fit right now. A guy that's had good, like, you don't want to give up Vientos. Meanwhile, he's been inconsistent from 1 year to the next. Robert has done the same thing. He's had two good years or whatever it was, two or three
years. It was a couple years ago, too. He's been on the down cycle for a while.
All right, fair enough. But that's what I mean. So who's to say that Vientos can't be in that down cycle right now?
I hear you.
And he doesn't bring anything else to the table.
And Robert, who is in a down cycle, at least even during a down cycle, is going to catch it in the outfield. And listen, you can get him, Sal. I jotted this down before, but we went to a call. Like, it's not inconceivable that if you guys get him, Robert, and whether it's for Vientos or whatever, but you just get him here, in the next 2 months, he can steal 15 bases and hit 12 to 15 home runs
right
before the postseason even comes.
Right, and he's an upgrade over what they have or what they would have, even if Jose Siri came back. And you can, now they're going to have to make up for it a little bit with Vientos, but it's not like Vientos has done nothing this year.
Nothing.
He has not had an impact on him. Yeah, he hit the grand slam last night. Okay, that's fine, but I'm talking about overall. Whereas last year, we did this million times to emphasize how bad Pete's season was. Who's the most impactful player on the
Lindor
team?
Lindor number one, Vientos number two,
Iglesias
number three, Grimes number four.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah,
Patu and number five, Manaea.
Yeah, but point is, he was that impactful last year, and he's non-existent this year. So I get that there are going to be people who don't want to give up on him. I personally would be okay parting with him in the right deal. Jeff is in Oceanside. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing today?
Hey, Jeff.
Good.
What's happening, dude?
Two things real quick. With that umpire last night with Soto, I know you guys talked about earlier. The first at bat was just bad, normal bad. That second at bat to me was personal and egregious on that third strike that was high. And then he was trying to egg Soto on to having an argument with him.
Yeah.
I think that umpire needs to be fined or suspended, because that was
But he didn't throw personal. Him out, Jeff. So you could say he was trying to egg him on. I'm not going there. I don't think he was trying to egg him on, because he could have just thrown him out.
Sal, he definitely was.
He was.
Sal, 100%.
But then why did he toss him?
Because Soto didn't do anything.
No, Soto went back at him a couple
no,
times.
No, but I'm saying, like, we're talking about the Jeff, you're talking about, like, the 7 or 8 seconds where the ump was just staring at Soto. Staring at him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the second at bat, not the first at bat.
I know, the second at bat, not the high slider
Soto
on the first at bat.
His arms looking at him, talking to him. Mendy had to come out and get in between. Alonso was pushing Soto back.
I thought the ump was out of bounds.
No, that was the first at bat. That was the first. The second at bat, the pitch was egregious.
Yes.
It was personal. He was sticking it to Soto.
I agree with you.
So I think do me a favor. Just look at the video and see what you think.
Well,
and
well Jeff, one thing though. Jeff, hold on a sec. So this is not going to be the pound of flesh that maybe you want as a fan of the game or as a fan of Met fan, as a Met fan having Soto's back, whatever. But I promise you, when the league office, and hopefully this will not happen again, when the league office looks at that review, because every umpire's got to file a report after every single game, and that will come up, and he will, I don't know if he'll get fined or reassigned. There will be some sort of response by baseball. Hopefully he learns his lesson, because that... I don't know that I've ever seen... Umpires are getting a little bit too tough lately. They really are. I don't know who the hell they think that they are. But this guy was eyeballed like he wanted to take him in the back alley. Dude, just call the ball, call the strike, and shut up. No one's here to watch you, ump.
Right. I'm not staying up to 1 o'clock in the morning working in 5-hour sweep for work today to see this umpire. I'm working to see Soto hopefully hit a home run.
Right.
And then my other last point, I'll let you guys go because I know it's getting close here. What is the Mets problem all year, and it's been... lineup wide with runners in scoring position. To me, it's some kind of mindset. It's something. It's a coaching, because it's every player. They get guys on base. It's been all year long. You check the boxes every single game. It's 1 for 10. It's 2 for 12. It's constant. It's constant.
It's got to change, too. And thank you for the call, Jeff. Good stuff. It's got to change. Specifically with Soto, I'm watching the numbers again last night. Every time they show it, when he comes up with a guy on base base is empty. It's got to change. I think it will in the postseason, if at the very latest for Juan Soto, but it has to change. The Mets cannot win a World Series without hitting with guys in runners in scoring position. Pete has done a good job of it, or at least did earlier on. I don't know what the issue is, though, BT. They have to be better with guys on base, or guys specifically in scoring position.
You know, a lot of times people try to explain, and I heard this a lot with the Yankees, like, well, you know, defensive slumps are contagious. Yeah, and because I think you start to press a little bit and you start to try to do too much and you start throwing the ball all around the infield like the Yankees have. I don't know if it's the same. I mean, inability to drive guys in with scoring position, does that afflict the entire team? To me, that was always like would be more of an individual thing. Like I'm in the box and I feel pressure to do my job. I don't know if that's the reason, but it's not because they don't have a few really good hitters. It's just one of those weird anomaly season long anomalies, which by the way, first pitch of the playoffs could change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it has not been good.
Also, by the way, they're still in first place and still have one of the best records in baseball without that being the case, without hitting with guys in scoring position. So I think Soto's the biggest culprit, and he's the least of my worries. I think he'll get... I don't know what the hell is going on. It's been the one infuriating thing about this year, dating back to the beginning, where it's like, all right, guys on, come on, come through. We're waiting
Talking
for
about Soto.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the season.
Yeah.
I love it. Swinging that changeup last night. Missed it by a mile, huh, boy?
Good God. And then with guys with nobody on, base empty, boom, he's hitting home runs left and right. It's infuriating. I want to see him get the big hit with guys on. Maybe he's just waiting for the grandest stage of them all.
Yankee Stadium.
I'll take it. If you mean World Series, Subway Series, yeah, I'll take it. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
For the Yankees last night. All right, so Yankees with only 2 runs, 6 hits, 2-3-4 in the order. That was Dominguez, Bellinger, and Stanton. With 4 of the 6 hits. And then, of course, Rosario had the pinch hit for Dominguez. So that was basically 5 hits, kind of in the middle of the order. Otherwise, pretty quiet in terms of the offense for the Yankees. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head. Committed to craft since 1905. So we got an interesting, difference of opinion or a little conflict between thoughts. Boomer and Jeter. What's going on with this?
Well, this happened, I guess, last week when I was out, or no? But you gave a take on that, too.
Rip I did. Jeter, I'm more with Boomer.
And by the way, like, I also think that there's definitely more to it. This has been, there's been a track record of where Jeter has been reluctant. And I love Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
I respect him maybe more so than any other player in this town, period. Didn't love him, but I respect him. And clearly there's been a reluctance to show up for these Yankee old-timers days or celebrations. And I don't want to hear the nonsense about daughter's birthday or whatever. I don't care what the excuse is. There's no excuse. You're Derek Jeter. because of what you did with the New York Yankees, that honoring the 2000 team or whatever it is, Old Timers Day, go out there with your friends and family and all that stuff. Go see, like, I don't understand the big deal. And he doesn't want to do it, clearly. So whatever excuse he came up with, that Boomer heard or Tiki heard or Susan told you, I did see that.
Yeah,
clip.
We talked about that. Now, yeah, his daughter's birthday.
I'm not buying it. So
I'm not either,
so,
really.
So then what happened? I guess Boomer ripped him and Jeter took offense to that?
Well, Boomer used the word elitist. Now, that's not necessarily the word that I would use, although Boomer used that last week.
That's rich. Boomer using the word elitist takes one to know one, I guess.
Hey, he's lining up a putt right now. Don't get in his way.
I mean, come on. Have you come across somebody more elitist than Boomer Esiason?
That's funny, man. All right, so he used the word elitist. And then, obviously, Tiki was with CeCe, and they're very good friends. The wives are very good friends, CeCe and, Amber and Tiki's wife, Tracy. And by extension, CeCe and Tiki have become pretty good friends as well. Anyway, they were there in Cooperstown, and as I read now, because this is what Tiki told Evan on the show yesterday, right. He said, Jeter said that he should have called me. Don't speculate about me. Just pick up the phone and basically give me a call. So Derek wanted to flush it out, and he says he was hot. And then Tiki says that he had to calm him down, end quote. Now, I don't know. I can't imagine that. First of all, Tiki's not really a calm down kind of guy because Tiki's not an excitable kind of guy. He's just very measured. And I can't imagine that Derek Jeter's at a bar or at some fancy party raging like that. Yo, that's messed up. Who the hell's Boomer think he is?
Right.
Hey, Derek, you got to calm down, buddy. Come on, man. What are we doing today? Blood pressure's getting too hot. Take it easy, pal. Right. You're over 50 now. You know, I think he's just relaying the story, and I'm sure that Derek was pissed. That doesn't seem congruent for me, but I could be wrong. And that's not the Tiki. That's more Derek. I'm with Boomer. I honestly am. I think it's nonsense. I think that Derek, all that he's told us and not even intimated, he's flat out said, I'm not wearing a uniform. Nobody's going to see me hit again. Hey, Derek, listen, I got news for you, dude. For 15, 20 years, a hungover Mickey Mantle waddled out on the first baseline, and so did the great Yogi Berra. You know, all right, Joe DiMaggio would get a little separation, come out with the beautiful blue pinstripe suit, done one play, okay, you're Joe D, and I know that you're Jeter, but this is, and again, I wouldn't use the word elitist, but it's unnecessary separation. You are the captain, you won the World Series that year, it was against the Mets, you had some massive moments, as you always did. I don't know how you don't show up, and if you don't want to show up, don't have a problem with us who are criticizing you, because I'm with Boomer on this.
What do you think the issue is?
I think he's got a real distaste for the Yankees franchise.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there an issue there?
Yeah, I believe that there is. Starting with Cashman. When Cashman told him years ago, hey, go out there and see who wants you, because they were looking at Troy Tulowitzki, other shortstop, and Derek's, you know, the great Derek Jeter's ego was bruised when, and listen, I'm going to defend Cashman here. What Brian Cashman said to Jeter, you know, as we translate, we don't know exactly what was said, but he basically said, if you think you're better than these guys, you're not, and go out there and get a price.
See, while I can respect that and understand your point of view, I would be with Jeter on that one. That's disrespecting the GOAT.
How? Business.
Oh, it's business. Some guys are above that. Derek Jeter earned and deserved better treatment than that.
I got you, but he got paid for that. What Derek Jeter did for the Yankees, he was handsomely rewarded, and rightfully so. That doesn't mean that you have a deal for perpetuity, like, oh, the great all. That would be like Mike Francis, and we love Mike's a legend, be like Mike doing afternoon drive when he's 81 years old and he just doesn't make any sense. Mm. No, you don't have a job forever.
Is he coming back too?
Oh, yeah.
And we're really screwed.
You got the schmooze at night. We got Mike and Chris coming back. See ya. I'm saying, like, just because you were great at something once, you get rewarded for that by what your pay dictates over the years when you're on the air or batting first in your prime. You don't have that forever, especially as an athlete.
I know, but still, I didn't like that, the way that whole thing played out, and especially that it went public. I think that's what Jeter was really bothered with, the fact that it got out.
That I can understand to an extent.
But that aside, because I do think that there are deeper issues here, because this is not just a one-time thing. If it came out, and by the way, he could step out in front of it. He doesn't want to be criticized. He's on Fox.
No,
not that I'm watching that show necessarily.
He doesn't say anything off Fox.
Right, but still, but he could come out and say, hey, you knuckleheads in the media are criticizing. You have no idea what's going on. I talked to the Yankees. I wish I could have been there. I wanted to be there. I can't. I have a family obligation that I don't want to get into. Whether it's a birthday, whether it's something else, whatever it may be, Did he come out and say, I really want to be there, but I can't, I'm sorry?
No.
Was he at the Hall of Fame this weekend?
Yep.
What, and there just was no coincidence, nothing coincided with that? Also, you don't think that Jeter and the Yankees could have planned this out and said, hey, Derek, are you going to be available? Because if I'm the Yankees, there's one player I'd want to show up for this thing.
Correct.
It's Derek Jeter.
Yep.
You tell me you wouldn't organize it around him? So I'm calling BS.
Me too.
On whatever excuse Jeter has.
Now, I've been saying that.
Right. Now, the only issue that I have in this whole scenario, Boomer is an elitist. So
yeah,
I don't think he could be calling.
He is.
Boomer's such an elitist that he would like me calling him an elitist.
Yeah. All right, so hold on. Just because we're something, we can't call, like, you're loud.
Yeah.
You can't call somebody else loud.
No, I guess
I'm loud. True. I can't call somebody, like, if you're an elitist, yeah, you can call somebody else. Elitist. Hey, ballers, no ball. Game recognized game.
I get it.
Elitist recognized elitist.
But do you think Jeter is not going? You said it. You don't think it's because he's an elitist. That's the thing.
No, I think it's because there is an irreparable, at this point, something inner working franchise, definitely with Cashman. Maybe a little less with Hal, but certainly Cashman is the source of his consternation, and he's being petty. And you know what? By being petty, listen, if
who
I'm wrong,
hurting,
then I'm wrong.
Yeah, but who's he hurting? Ultimately?
Well, he's hurting Posada, he's hurting Clemens, he's hurting Pettit, he's hurting his teammates.
And the fans.
And I was getting to that. And of course, the fans, you know, for sure. So,
but yes, all the teammates and the fans, like that's, come on, you're Derek Jeter.
It's weak, dude. It's weak. And I understand, now, if it's a funeral, that's different. If it's, like, I don't know.
What, a funeral scheduled
well, that's
a month
true,
out?
Too. No, that's why I'm doing. Well, it could be a celebration of life. Not everybody does conventional, you know, 2 or 3 days casket.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's different elements of celebrating, so I want to be fair to everybody or recognizing somebody for the last time as they pass away. But to me, and people push back on this, and I got a lot of social media hate on this, and that's fine. Like, yeah, I did say it's your daughter's birthday. Push back the birthday party. Push it back, dude. Push back the party. You can't have a party on a Tuesday or a Wednesday?
I got to be honest with you.
Come
on. And we're both obviously family guys. Like, yeah, okay,
100%.
Great. Yeah. Love my family. They're the best, blah, 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 blah. Like, if there was some kind of fan thing or whatever it was that was honoring my career or my team, and I had to be there, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, we can celebrate your birthday tomorrow.
Of course.
Or yesterday. It doesn't have to be that day. Or, by the way, it could be that night.
And like, I don't think it's even her birthday. Well, again, she's a young, I don't even want to really bring her into it. But
it's not.
It's not. But I was told that it wasn't even necessarily her birthday that day. Again, we're getting into the weeds on Derek Jeter's personal life, which I'm not trying to do.
No, but come on.
But he seems very disingenuous, very inauthentic, and quite frankly, that's one of the things about Derek that has bothered me over the years.
Yeah,
I think
he's
been. I know you. No, yeah. I love. Listen,
like, I love that cold, callous. Mm, to me, that's what made him such a killer out there.
But, give me a little more Jalen Brunson. Yeah. I like that. You still get the cold killer, and you get a little bit more realness. Like to me, Derek was a homogenized, packaged. In a lot of, I'm going to probably take heat for saying this, but I'll own it. In a lot of ways, he was a phony. He was a phony.
Yeah, I never got
never
that.
Never gave you anything and with the comments, with the quotes. It was all the bland nonsense. And I said this while you were out. It really bothered me how he was very selective in who he chose to defend. He told the fans to stop booing Jason Giambi after, you know, he had roided up and did all that. Now, Alex cheated as well. He never told the fans to be quiet about A-Rod. When you're the captain, you're the captain for the entire team, not for one guy. So that's being phony.
Are they best friends now?
Who?
Again, A-Rod?
No, I think that they've gotten a mutual respect for sure.
But they're working together.
Yeah, and they've got a good working relationship. I mean, I don't overstep my boundary. I don't know, but I don't think they hate each other anymore.
From a Yankees fan perspective, I would be hurt that Jeets, the captain, doesn't want to come back to celebrate old timers. Like, that's a slap in the face to the fans that helped make you who you are. That's where I have a major problem.
Which is why I've said what I've said, because I feel as if I've got a responsibility to say that. Because very few fans have a microphone. Right. I happen to be one of them.
Right.
And to me, it's obviously not a great look. And it just kind of, it tells me what I kind of thought for a long time. And that he's just been a little disingenuous. And, you know, if he hears this, I'm not trying to be rude. You know, he's boys with Tiki, great. I'm not boys with Jeter, so I don't owe him anything. I watched him play it. I respected him. I'll always respect him. Always hustled. Always played hard. Always played hurt. I'm not feeling this. This is. I believe he's wrong here.
I just would like to see him come out. Like, as a public figure, I think that there is a duty to at least, again, I don't want to get into the details of personal life. I really don't care. But I think there is a duty to the fans to let them know, you know, why you couldn't be there. How come you couldn't figure something out with the Yankees to avoid having a conflict if there is one for whatever reason it is.
Yep.
There's got to be a better way or at least a better explanation from the man himself. The Astros and the Mets have expressed interest in Brandon Lowe.
I thought it was Lau. I always went with Lau whenever he played the L-O-W-E. Yankees when he came up. Yep, I know it's L-O-W-E. I always go Lau. I thought that's what it was.
Okay, there you go.
Interesting player.
But it's an interesting thing that the Mets would have interest in him. Where the hell are they going to play him?
Probably second.
Then what do they do with McNeil?
Well, think about this. If they're thinking about now, what you would do at that point is you would probably keep McNeil in center field. And what they might be thinking is, all right, can we upgrade center field or can we upgrade, which can we upgrade more, center field or second base?
Right, so it's one or the other. Yeah, so Sherman did report this, that the Mets and Astros are among teams that have contacted the Rays about Lau, but also saying the Rays still prefer to be buyers. They would prefer
Rays
to add.
Do, huh?
This is on Monday. Yeah, the Rays would prefer to add. And we'll see what happens here over the next couple of days, but still.
I remember when he came up.
He's out
against
right
the
now.
Yankees.
I heard Susan talking about him last night on the broadcast. Basically, they've been a different team without him, with and without him. So he's that big of an impact player here. I mean, I'm not saying I'd be opposed to him.
He's got 19 home runs, 50 ribbies, 800 OPS.
Good player. I'm just thinking it's an odd fit.
Yeah, All-Star this year. Yeah, that's a name I would have thought would have been attached to the Mets there.
So either way, this stuff is going to be happening here and come, all the names, whether it's the Yanks, Mets, as we continue to, we saw last week over the course of the weekend, and now we're just 2 days away from the trade deadline. You're going to find out which team's going to be selling, which team's going to be buying, which guys are going to be going where, BT. We started the show talking about that with Vientos. We mentioned it with the Yanks, whether it could be soft buyers, whatever the hell that means. Could they be selling Goldschmidt or Bellinger? Fascinating to find out what's going to happen with both these teams over the course of the next couple of days. We also mentioned some football before, and Malik Nabers getting banged up at practice today. Lucas is in Randolph talking about his Giants. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, not much. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate
it.
I was at the practice today, so I actually did see him go down, and he definitely grabbed his shoulder like it's been reported as. And he just kind of went to the sideline and crouched over and kind of left that shoulder hanging a little. So it was a little worrisome, but I did want to make 2 points. It's been quite a while since you guys were talking about like the preseason things, but one, I want to say the team this year looks way more excited. I don't remember which one of you had mentioned it, but there's way more energy than last year. I went to many practices last year. This year there's more energy.
Yeah, I used the word juice. I heard that. A couple people said that. So that's good. So that's noticeable. All right, well, it's about time.
So what's that, the Russell Wilson factor? I mean, seriously. Is that
maybe.
Well,
hey, you guys are the ones who love Daniel Jones trying to shove him down our throats. I mean, that's the only big difference. I know Carter, obviously, here, but that's not going to be the game changer as far as the energy goes overall. Same coaches. Pretty much the same team everywhere else. Russell Wilson's got to be the biggest difference, and I'm just not a big believer in Russ at this point in his career.
Well, there's the Wilson factor and there's the Scataboo factor as well.
Yeah, well.
People are ecstatic to see him out there, honestly. And the other point I was going to make is with Deshaun, he's had his issues in the past, but yesterday at the training camp, he stayed after on the field working with Baker, running some routes and such, just the two of them. And when Baker left, Deshaun stayed and did sprints in the heat. So I give him lots of credit for what he's doing and the work he's putting in.
And
so
it's been hot out
maybe
there,
maybe he
too.
Does be the option, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Lucas. It's been hot out there. I mean, it's one thing to have pads on, even if you're a fan, though. It's just hot. Last couple of days. I did just see this from Jordan Renaud a minute or so ago. Tweeted this, Giants don't appear to be overly concerned about Malik Nabers' shoulder at the moment. They've got a scheduled off day on Wednesday.
Yeah, so you hope he's going to be fine. I do worry, though, about Nabers with the injuries dating back to last year. And I think it was the Thursday night game because I was at the Cowboys-Giants Thursday night game where he came down on the sideline and they're having the concussion,
yes,
right?
And that changed his whole season.
Yeah, really so that is where once you start messing with the concussions, obviously your shoulder different than the head, but I just worry about Nabers because he seems to be a little fragile here early on with the Giants.
Yeah, and I remember, was it in London? Which game was it? They all kind of blend together, as I say so many times, but they do. I've noticed that he has a rough time almost protecting himself when he's coming down. Like, he's vulnerable. And I've heard people who played the game say that. That's just not even, like, you know, former athletes who are doing color commentator. Like, he's got it. He's too vulnerable when he, because he goes up sometimes.
Selling out to make the catch?
Yes, and sometimes unnecessarily, where, not that he's trying to put a little mustard on it, but there's a better way to catch it, protect yourself, roll and tuck, and he's still kind of twisting and contorting in a way where you can't protect your head.
Are you going to the Jets' first game against the Steelers?
I'm in between. I know I'm going to Tampa for the third game because that's down to Tampa.
So you're still unsure?
I don't know, man. I do.
I know. Part of me wants to go.
I do, too. But a big part of me prefers watching in my basement.
I know.
You know, the roast beef and the mozzarella.
I
don't mess around with the orange soda and a little oil and vinegar chips.
Now, what do you think? Because you hosted me for a couple of Knicks playoff games.
Yes.
What do you think if I host you for
100%
football?
I'll come to your house for football. There's no doubt about that, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I didn't know because you like your...
No,
I get it. Because
no,
I get
no,
it.
No, 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 no,
like,
no,
if you were to
no,
ask
no,
me
no.
on a football Sunday, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Next playoffs is one thing. Football Sundays, everybody's got their, like...
No, I've got to... You would have to reciprocate with the offer, which apparently... Yeah. I'm not... Because you invited me last year. You went with Hoff once, right? Didn't Hoff go to... When you were still in Long Island? Did he come out there?
I don't know. Did you come to me on Long Island, Hoff?
Yeah, he did. Okay. I remember him.
I had Loogie and Maresh, but those guys are all Long Island. I don't remember if Hoff. Oh, yeah, he did. You definitely did.
He came out there for that. Yes. No, I would come. Like, the Knicks, that's different. That's an isolated watch. That's the fire pit.
Football Sunday's a whole thing.
You got a lot going on. Yeah. And you seem to... Like, I don't have nine things going on.
Yeah.
But as long as it... Now, I don't know if I can commit to a Jet game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So there's a difference. Either we have to watch the Jets together in isolation, or it's got to be, you usually have the big four-game scrimmage.
Jets are on. I got to focus on the Jets.
Yeah, which I respect.
I have to. I can't not.
Not many primetime games,
thank God,
unfortunately, for the Jets.
Anonymity. Just
you
in
like
the
that.
Side door.
1 o'clock. Now, we are going to have a problem where both the Jets and Giants play a lot at 1 o'clock.
A lot of conflicts.
I hate that.
Yeah, well, it's really tough for our job. So I'm very honest. What I do is I watch the Jets live.
Yeah.
And I will record the Giants, and then I'll go back with my notepad, and I'll do what I do
for
each game. It's not the best way to do it, but that's what I've done my whole career. It's fine, but there's more and more like overlaps with the Jets and the Giants, which stinks. So it's bad out of the chute. But if the teams are bad, then it actually becomes good because you're like, all right, now I can just watch the Chiefs play.
Yeah.
I don't know the Steelers on 425 with Nance and Romo, and not worry about a Giants team or a Jets team that's going to win 4 or 5 games.
That's why you need the Sunday ticket or whatever it's called now on YouTube, because the Jets and Giants have been so bad. Basically, football season's over 4 weeks in.